Genesis chapter 11, first 9 verses, I desire that we read with the help of the Lord. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them through. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build up a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon from the Word of God. And now, before the face of our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and worship the Lord with prayer and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, Thou art the Creator of heavens and of earth. To Thee, Lord, belong worship and praise. Honor and glory is Thine. In Thy heavenly kingdom, O Lord, the multitudes of the heavenly hosts worship Thee. The angels and archangels gladly do and fulfill Thy commandments. And there, O Heavenly Father, there is no room for any disobedience. For the enemy of our souls has been cast from the heavenly heights down to this earth. Thou hast revealed, O Lord, in Thy holy word, that Thy commandments are the light to our path, that Thy will, O Lord God Almighty, is for well-being and welfare of our souls, that in Thy word we can find the direction of the good way, the way of salvation. Thou hast revealed, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that Thou didst create the world and the mankind, as long as men obeyed Thy word, and as long, O Heavenly Father, as their offerings were to Thee, that Thou didst bless them, that Thou didst reveal Thy will to them. And in Thee, O Lord God Almighty, there is light and there is no darkness. Even today Thou art revealing Thy good and pleasant will. Even today Thou art leading Thy people upon the path of righteousness. O Lord God, as we read Thy holy word, Thou mercifully, graciously open our hearts and our minds, and Thou grant us, O Lord, new understanding. Thou grant us knowledge of Thy will and zeal for Thy will. As Thy people, after the great flood, offer the sacrifice, a burnt offering, and as Thou, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, hast blessed them, and Thou hast given them the multitudes of Thy blessings, and the instruction, the commandments, that they should multiply and fill the earth. Today, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us Thy word again, as Thou didst speak through Thy servants and Thy faithful prophets in the times of old. Thou art speaking today through Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, that we also be Thy people, Thy holy nation, Thy royal priesthood, that we may bring forth the good deeds that are pleasing Thee, O Lord, that we also may worship Thee, worshiping Thee at the altar of the holy and saving faith that works through love, that we, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may fill the earth with Thy testimonies. O Lord, the first people after the great flood did not heed thy commandments for long, and they decided to obtain a name of their own and to have a building that will reach toward heaven. And yet, when they were thy people, they had a name that is greater than any other name, and the heavenly blessedness and everlasting happiness was their destiny. O gracious Lord, we pray today that thou keep us from losing that good and blessed name. Name that thou hast given us in Christ, that we be thy children and the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. Grant us thou, O heavenly Father, that we always be walking worthy of that name, and we seek not a city upon the face of this earth, that we seek not refuge nor peace in this world, but let our peace be and our refuge place in Christ our blessed Redeemer. Lord God Almighty, in the old days thou hast confused their languages, for their unity was not in Christ. We pray, O Heavenly Father, today that thou do to us as thou didst to thy holy apostles. And from many languages thou hast made one people, and with one spirit they proclaim the good news of salvation in Christ in many languages. Gracious Lord, make us thou faithful and fruitful. Thou lead us upon that narrow righteous path that is marked with the drops of blood from the forehead and from the shoulders of our blessed Redeemer. As he walked outside the city as an outcast, bearing the burden of the cross, that we also, Lord, in a complete self-denial, with the flame of thy love in our hearts, may pick up our crosses and walk in the footsteps of the Savior. That our soul and body, mind and spirit, be a continual burnt offering upon this altar of the holy faith of Christ, and that to be our spiritual worship. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, unite our hearts and minds in Christ, and teach us, O Heavenly Father, and reveal to us that thou needest not any help, any assistance, any alms from the hand of human beings, that heavens and earth are thine. Thou art not hungry, thou art not thirsty, thou art not tired. Thy mighty arm is not weakened, thy hand is not feeble. Even today, O Heavenly Father, thou art mighty to save all those that come unto thee, all those that thou art drawing toward the Savior, every soul that in Christ thou art accepting into the holy covenant. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, may the token and the sign of the holy covenant of mercy, love and peace be above and around our souls, as the rainbow is spread over the earth, and under that token of thy covenant, Noah and his household offered their sacrifices. So may the wings of thy Holy Spirit be spread around our souls, and peace and joy of thy salvation fill our hearts. Gracious Lord, may the offering of love and gratitude from our weak hearts be pleasing unto thee. Gracious Lord, may thy goodness and mercy compass the earth round about, that everywhere where there is a heart in which thy Spirit dwelleth, and wherever there is a soul that thou hast redeemed, that everywhere there may be a place of worship in the hearts of thy people, not an altar made of earth or of stones, but an altar of true faith, faith in the name of that corner, precious stone that thou hast placed in Zion. That everywhere, O Heavenly Father, where thou hast redeemed the souls and hearts purified, there may be peace and joy of thy salvation. Unite thy people's heart, illuminate thy children's mind, make us one in Christ, and make us faithful and fruitful to the glory and honor of thy holy name, O Lord. That thy holy testimony, the power of thy Spirit may be manifested, that the beauty of thy gospel may be revealed, that the testimony of thy truth may go forth, and all those that thou hast redeemed, that they may turn unto thee and find thee in Christ our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, keep us from idolatry, keep us from all evil, fill our hearts with faith, love and hope. Make us meek and humble, for we walk upon the path that leadeth to eternal glory. Let not our heart be longing for the glory of this world, which is only a deep shame. Let not our soul be snared into the snares of the evil one, for in thee, O Heavenly Father, in thy goodness and grace, there is abundance, sufficient for all our needs. Fill our hearts with gratitude and love to worship Thee every day, in all the days of our pilgrimage, and in Thee to find that peace and joy that will last forever. Holy Father, much more than we can pray for, and much more than we can see our needs are, Thou grant from the abundance of Thy heavenly treasure, and make us one in Christ, that in Him we may worship Thee this short time of our pilgrimage, and much more in that endless and blessed eternity. Amen. You remember, beloved, that after the great flood, and after the test that was done by two birds from the ark, that finally Noah, the servant of God and the head of the family, the head of the family of the mankind, that at that time numbered only 8 souls. Noah opened the roof of the ark and looked around, and the earth was dry. Wonderful. I imagine, beloved, that after such a great flood, they could hardly wait to get out. After being in the ark for so many days, and after being so busy with taking care for all the creatures, all the animals, birds, and all the living creatures that were in the ark, they were very eager to get out. Yet, they waited for a voice. They didn't walk out. They didn't open the door of the ark, because that door, last time, or perhaps only once, was shut, closed by the hand of God. And Noah, with his household, waited another week. And then the voice of God came to them, and they opened the ark when the Lord commanded them to turn the door open. They walked out, and all the creatures walked out after them. And the new life began on that renewed face of the earth. I think, beloved, that of all the people that lived before the great flood, false believers and real sinners, which apparently all of them were, they did not see one single man. The earth was new, and the new life started. The first thing that Noah with his household did, they built an altar to the Lord and offered sacrifices. I believe, beloved, that sacrifice upon the altar was a sign. They will also acknowledge that they of themselves are no better than all the others that found their death in the waters of the great flood. That only in the true sacrifice that will come when the Redeemer comes to redeem us from our sins and from death, that is the reward for sin, that Redeemer will be the true sacrifice. And with the sacrifices that were offered since the beginning until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, all the sacrifices pointed, or all the sacrifices, all the offerings, were a sign, a testimony, an acknowledgement that a true Redeemer, true sacrifice, a perfect offering is coming. And in that name, and on His merit, the Heavenly Father established His covenant with the mankind. He gave them the boundaries of their living. He gave them the instruction, the commandment, what they are going to do, what shall they eat, what shall they do, what is going to be the goal of their strivings. He blessed them and said that they should multiply and fill the earth. Just a few years later, it was known that not only 8 souls survived or passed from the old world, the world that perished in the floods. Not only 8 souls started living upon the face of the earth, something else survived somehow, or somebody else was present there around. The evil spirit did not die in the floods. And so, after the blessing that without apparent interruption was growing and was multiplied for the first few years. After that short period of time, we see the first curse. Apparently, Noah, being the head of the family, made a bad mistake. First time after so long, he drank wine. Perhaps before the great flood, he was free and accustomed to drink wine after a good meal without being endangered of losing his soberness. But after so long, when he first time drank wine again, he got drunk. Not only he was drunk, he apparently knew not what he was doing. And one of his sons did something very shameful that was probably one of the customs of the people before the great flood. Shamelessness. The other two sons, seeing and hearing what's going on, took a linen or a blanket over their shoulders and walking backwards into the tent of their father Noah. In order not to see the nakedness of their father, they covered him with that linen. And so they proved themselves to be respectful, careful, and protective of their father that was drunk. When Noah was out of that condition, when he was sober again, he found out what happened and he cursed Ham, his son, the one that was so unmannerly, unorderly, so immoral. The people multiplied and started only doing what God has commanded, and before they reached the point of filling the earth, multiplying so much as to fill the earth, with a new nation, trusting the Lord, obeying His commandments, offering pure offerings that are pleasing to Him, waiting for the Redeemer to come, listening to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. Instead of all of that goodness and blessedness, they gradually lost their godliness. There was an abundance, apparently, in their lives. They were wealthy. They were rich, for God has blessed them. And yet, after they ate and drank, and after they gathered material goods, they forgot the Lord. And not being careful to serve the Lord and to strive to please Him, very soon they realized that they have no name. They had a name. They were God's people, the people of God's covenant. Yet, after a while, they lost it. They didn't have the good name they received in the beginning, and so instead of spreading throughout the earth by their tribes and families, they decided to make a big city, to live together, to compete with one another. They became a vain vanity. And pride were the style of that time. So they say, let us unite and work together and be like one family, one huge big city. And then we will build a big tower that will grow in height toward heaven so that we can have a name of our own and that we be not scattered over the face of all the earth. Well, the Lord said that they should cover the whole earth. They decided they wanted that. And there was one language. I believe Beloved that is teaching us, if there is unity, but not unity in Christ, human unity is not going to last. It's only for a short while. And so they started building that city and the tower was higher and higher. It went on and on. And one day, that huge company of builders came to their work again, and each one picked up his own tools and his own place, and they started working. As soon as they started communicating with one another, those that were supervisors calling for their assistance and assistance for their helpers and helpers for their groups of people, none could understand one another. Each one was speaking a different language. I imagine Beloved that each one thought that his language was right and the others spake something else. Nonsense. Same as we see today. Every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. As in the time when there was no king in Israel, so today among the people that have the name of Christ but do not have Christ as their king. Different languages,
different teachings,
no unity.
In a way, all the people striving and arguing and not understanding one another on that unfinished Tower of Babel. Babel meaning confusion. The same situation is today in the world of confusion, the world of forgotten godliness, or the world that has forgot true godliness, the world of false religion, the world that is leaving the world and joining the world of sin. In a way, they all speak the same language,
the language that was their own.
I wonder if anyone ever, probably not, probably none of them speak the old language that was the language of Noah, Shem and Japheth. Perhaps they all speak different languages of Canaan, the man who was immoral, sinful, just short time after he entered the covenant of the Lord. So they stopped building the tower and they scattered over all the earth. Served them well. The Lord said that they should cover the earth, and they will. If they're not going to fill the earth as God's people, they're going to be scattered all over the earth as godless people, idolaters. Well, many, many years later, the true sacrifice came, and those that believed received the power of the Holy Ghost, and the situation was reversed. In the days of the apostles, starting with the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Ghost was outpoured, they started speaking different languages, many languages, but the same teaching, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were not building a tower of confusion. No, they were building themselves into that holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, into that holy building, building that was founded upon the Rock of Ages, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That new building is still standing. The head of the building is in the kingdom, and the members, some are already there, and a few are still here, and the battle goes on. The enemy is trying to create confusion even there, and he's trying to persuade the people of God to strive for their own name, for their vanity and pride, for emptiness of this life, for the earthly and material goods, and to neglect what is most important, building themselves into that spiritual building, the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the Lord keeps his own, and the battle is going on. The victory belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all those that are his will be victorious. So after a long while, as the families of the mankind scattered over the face of the earth, we see that the people are multiplying and new nations were formed and created. And at some period of time, that earth that after the great flood apparently was one, surrounded by a huge ocean of water, at some point that earth was changed, and some parts of the earth sank down, and the water came in between and formed continents. And some groups of people remained divided and did not mix with one another for a long, long time. Now, where do we find that? If we read the names and the generations that were born and how the life was that the mankind multiplied, we'll find that one of the patriarchs in that family tree or family line of Noah and his descendants was called Peleg. His name was given because of that great event that took place when he was born. In Peleg means division. And we read that in his days the earth was divided. So the races were formed as the people lived in different regions, different areas, different continents, and they were not able to mix
with one another.
One of the descendants of Noah lived with his family, and his family multiplied, and one of his late descendants was named Nahor, and his son was Terah, and Terah's sons were Abram. Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram. I have to make some correction here. And Leah lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. That's verse 21 of the chapter 11. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And after he begat Nahor, he lived 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So apparently there were some names repeated here from generation to generation. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Isachar. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then the beginning of chapter 12.